This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentralMedia.com. Please follow us on social media, Facebook.com/MuslimCentral and Twitter.com/MuslimCentral. Also check out our other websites, MuslimCentralTube.com and MuslimCentralImages.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Him upon all conditions, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every single one of us. Every moment that we are seated here, inshallah, we will be achieving a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy is descending upon us, we are here for the right reasons, I hope, inshallah. And we would like to all be motivated and to learn something. Today, inshallah, we will be discussing some lessons from the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, or from Surah Yusuf. And I'm sure we are all aware that this is a very, very interesting story known as the best of the stories that are narrated in the Quran. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his entire household, all his companions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them and to bless every single one of us. My brothers and sisters, a warm evening here in Qatar. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us the opportunity to meet in one of his houses. If you take a look at Yusuf alayhi salam, he was known for his good looks. He was very handsome. He was known for it. So much so that when we say Yusuf, the first thing that comes to mind is someone who's very, very good looking. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us good looking from in the inside first and then from the outside as well. Because there is no point in being good looking from the outside and yet our character chases people away from us. It's important for us to develop both. Yusuf alayhi salam had a mixture of both. So much so he was good looking, his character was exemplary, and he was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the most honored because he was the son of a prophet, who was a son of a prophet, who was a son of the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at his lineage, he was the son of Ya'qub, who was the son of Ishaq, who was the son of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wa salam, alayhim jami'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace and blessings be upon them all. Right at the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Yusuf alayhi salam narrated a dream to his father. I'm sure we've heard this and I'm sure we know what the dream was all about as well. Now, I want to pause there for a moment to draw a lesson. We are drawing lessons from Surah Yusuf. He spoke to whom? He spoke to his father. About what? About a dream he had. Ask yourselves, how many of your children narrate to you their dreams? Let's be honest. It shows a beautiful relationship between the two. How many of us have a beautiful relationship between us and our own fathers? How many of us have a beautiful relationship between us and our fathers, and how many fathers have such a beautiful relation with their own children that whenever something important happens in their lives, they narrate it. Something happens in the life of a child, it is narrated. So let us develop a beautiful relation with our own children so that when something important happens in their lives, they narrate it to us. That is the lesson we learn. Because there is no point in reading Surah Yusuf and saying, oh, he told his father the dream, when it was such an important dream, but we don't learn a lesson that what does it have in it for us, the fact that they spoke. Some of us have such a bad relationship that even at times of marriage, your child wants to marry. They have fixed their minds on someone I want to marry. But they have no guts to tell their father. They have no courage to tell the mother because there's no relationship. Nothing. And where were you all along? You were not even guiding your child. This is what I tell people who come to me and say, you know, my son or my daughter wants to marry someone who really I cannot accept. And I tell them, do you know what? Why did you not participate in the life of your child from the beginning? You only want to come in now and participate suddenly when your child is so old. Because it is the guilt that we have in us of not participating properly in the life of the child. So you left your child to grow up on his or her own. And now when they've come up with their own decisions, then you have a problem with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to guide our children. May Allah help us to participate in their lives. Very important point that we've raised right at the beginning. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam makes mention of this, and Allah says,
إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ
He says, Oh my father, I have seen 11 stars, the sun and the moon, prostrate to me in my dream. The father interpreted dreams. He was a Nabi of Allah. And immediately he knew that there is something going to happen. This child, Allah is going to elevate him. But the father chose to speak in a different way to the child. To say, be careful. There is something known as jealousy that can overtake anyone, even the best from amongst you. Something known as jealousy that can overtake even the best from amongst you. So be careful what you tell them. Do not relate this to your brothers. I want to stop for a moment and talk about Instagram and Facebook and your little profile pictures for 1 second. Everything that happens in your life, you take a nice picture of it and push it up. Doesn't it happen nowadays? Watch out, be careful. People are suffering and struggling. Why? Al-aynu haqq. You need to know this. The evil eye is the truth. The hadith says, you are inviting people to have the evil eye on you. Look what I ate. Wallahi, I've seen people's profiles. Every meal, they change the picture. Why? Because I had turkey. Wow. Did you have turkey? They say, I had this lasagna. And you need to know how to pronounce it as well. And how to spell it as well. And I had this and that. And this is the juice I had and the drink I had. And this is where I went. And this is the hotel I stayed in. And this is how beautiful this was. This is the dress I bought. And this, every single thing. And every while you dress your child and the picture is up. And you dress another child and the picture is up. Wallahi, there is a lesson. Go back to Surah Yusuf. There are two times that we learn a lesson in this surah in this regard. One was when the brothers were all entering into that particular palace or into the ministries in order to get their food. The father says, enter separately. And one of the reasons mentioned in the books of tafsir is so that the people's eye does not catch you all and does not affect you with the evil eye. That was one of the lessons that we learned. And here as well, the father says, لَا تَقُصُصُ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخُوَتِكَ Do not relate this dream to your brothers. Do not relate it to your brothers. Why? Because they may plot against you. Out of what? It is clear. Out of jealousy. And the hadith says, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ Indeed, jealousy would eat away at your good deeds in the same way that fire would eat a dry log. And we know this. So my brothers and sisters, think for a moment before you upload your pictures and before you actually put your food and everything else. You know, we are not saying that you should divorce yourself completely from technology. But what we are saying, make good use of it. Make the best use of it, but do not use it to destroy your own self. You can tell genuine people sometimes some goodness you've been in, but it does not have to be everything. Because let me be honest. You send 1, 2, 3, 10 pictures. And some people who see it are wishing for it all their lives, working towards it, and you have it with so much ease. Do you think they will be able to digest it? There will come a stage in their lives when they start feeling something towards you. Look at this person, they have heaven on earth, and they don't know the problems you have in this dunya. Why don't we put up, well, I'm not encouraging it, but I'm saying, imagine if we were to put up profiles about the bad things that happened in our lives all the time. We would be living in gloom and doom. But man is such by nature. He wants a good picture of himself out. He wants a good picture. Everyone. We want a good image. So there's no harm in portraying that good image. But it does not need to be the finer details of your life. Leave that between you and your loved ones and those who shared it. And sometimes if you really want, perhaps once in a while, you may want to share it with a selected few. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a powerful and a beautiful lesson. Look, we're speaking about Surah Yusuf. And we started speaking about beautiful things. And we said, be careful who you share it with. Not everyone will be genuine. And even those who are genuine, sometimes it can enter the heart after a certain time. And it can affect you. So, if you look at what happened, jealousy overtook these brothers. Yet they were the children of a Nabi. And what this means is, Ya'qub, may peace be upon him, who was the father. Jacob, may peace be upon him, father of these children, he gave them a brilliant upbringing. It is wrong for us to think for a moment that he faltered in his upbringing. But no matter how beautiful your upbringing is, there will always be challenges within your children. There will always be certain things. You have some parents, they tell you that, you know, I've always read Salah and fulfilled it in a beautiful way. My child, when he was young, he used to join me. Now that he is old, he is dilly-dallying and he is not really fulfilling his Salah. What do I do? Will I be punished for his deeds and so on? It's a question that people ask. They are worried. Because sometimes Allah's test for you is that your children might do things that you do not like. How do you react to it? What do you do as a result? These children, Yaqub alayhi salam, being a Nabi of Allah, already thought that they may do this. And when they did plan, he had a feeling that this plan is plotted out in order to cause some form of harm to this little child, Yusuf or Joseph, may peace be upon him. And yet, he tried to communicate. Look at the engagement that there was between parent and children. Look at it. When they decided, the brothers decided, that you know what? Let's kill off this little boy because his father loves him too much. You know, I'm going to pause there for a moment, and we've done this in the past. Islam teaches us to be just between our children. But there is an issue that we need to realize. If I am a child, say for example in my family I am 8 out of 9, and that's the truth. I am number 8 out of 9 children. So the one who's after me, my younger brother, it's the first person I'm going to see at a certain age growing up. Those who are older than me saw me when I was born, and they saw my mother perhaps cuddling me and playing with me and so on, but they did not see themselves, because none of us can remember how we were cuddled, but we can only see the one younger than us being cuddled. So wrongfully the devil might come to you and think that your father or your mother is favoring the one who is younger, yet the same thing was done to you, but you were too small to know. And this is why the oldest has witnessed all the others being cuddled and perhaps kissed and perhaps played with and so on. And yet it is a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not mean that your mother does not like you or your father does not like you. It definitely means that you are at an age where you did not see it happening to yourself, but you are now witnessing it to your siblings. However, we need to go out of our way, my beloved brothers and sisters, to declare our love for our children. And to declare it for all our children. And we should never ever be unfair to our children. Sometimes because of the complexion of our child, we tend to treat them unfairly. One is fair in complexion, one is a bit darker. And we tend to think, you know what, this one is the black sheep. A'udhu billah. It causes a problem. I know of people who've sent me emails, really, little children, who say, Sheikh, my father is a friend of yours. I don't know which friend and from where. But he really looks up to you. However, because I am darker in complexion, they don't take me out when they go shopping. They take my sister because she is fair in complexion and she looks very pretty. And I am dying inside. I don't know what to do. I don't feel like living anymore. Subhanallah. Are you doing that in your family? Change it today. Wallahi. Are you disrespecting one of it? That's a gift of Allah. It's your test, wallahi. It is your test. It is reported that, subhanallah, Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu was very fair in complexion. And his son, Usama bin Zayd, was dark in complexion. And you know what? People started saying that these two, perhaps they might not be, you know, this might not be his son and so on. The father never doubted. Nobody else who was full of meaning ever doubted. But one day, there was an expert in this matter, and he looked at the feet of the two of them that were sticking out of one side of the blanket that was covering them, and he says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْأَقْدَامِ بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ. As he's walking past, he says, these feet, they actually belong to one another. One is from the other. And immediately, even when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he was so happy. Not because there was any doubt in the minds of those who were genuine, but because the mischief makers wanted to create a doubt, and that was clarified and cleared. So remember one thing, don't ever treat your child in a negative way. Wallahi, the detriment that that has, and it will have for generations to come, will be something that you will be responsible for. So go out of your way, treat the children properly, treat them fairly, even the children of others, go out of your way to give them respect. So in your absence, people will treat your children also with respect. If we have a habit, and we make it a habit, to treat the children of others with utmost respect every time we see them, we start a trend where everyone treats the children with respect. You greet them, you help them, and so on. If you find a little child that is astray, the minute they see one of us, they must feel secure. Not like what is happening in some places where a child is seen and next thing he looks at someone and he runs for his life because he doesn't know whether he will be molested or not. If that is the situation, we would not even be Muslimin. For us, the minute they see you, they should feel, I'm in safe hands. There is someone here who's going to help me, who's going to guide me, and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So, Ya'qub alayhi salam gave them the best upbringing. They were still overtaken with this jealousy. They decided, let's kill this young boy. Let's kill him. Imagine, brothers. May Allah protect us from the devil. This is why, my brothers and sisters, ask Allah's protection from shaitan. Every morning, every evening, something to read, known as mu'awwidhat. Mu'awwidhat, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. The last two surahs of the Quran, make sure you read them morning and evening. And if you can, even more often. Really. And if you can, you increase it in number, up to three recitations. Subhanallah. It is a sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is something we are taught. It was revealed at a time when something had happened at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in order to be protected from this type of superstition and this type of tampering with jinn kind and shaitan, these verses were revealed. Why do we not read them? So read them morning and evening so that you do not become overtaken by the devil. Moments ago, a young boy asked me a question here in this particular masjid after salah. A beautiful question related to how his weakness overtakes him now and again. And I said, you know what? Keep on doing good. Keep on increasing your good. And every time you falter, go back to the good. Do not let it distract you from your good deeds. I tell you why. Because your iman is strengthened with your good deeds and it becomes weakened with your bad deeds. So if you have a bad habit, the way to deal with it is to increase your good habits. That's how you deal with it. Some people are hooked onto pornography. And sadly, this is the scourge of the age. It is a disease that we need to talk about. It is something that affects not only your brain, but your entire system is affected by looking at that which is haram. When the Prophet ﷺ has instructed us, and the instruction comes from Allah, to lower the gaze, it is because it's supposed to help our spirituality, our calmness, our contentment. We exert all our energies and channel them in the right direction. The minute you look at the wrong things, you exert these beautiful power that you have, and whatever energies you have, into the wrong direction. And so what will happen? You will pay for it at some stage. This is what we always say. The way out of that is to engage in tawbah, ask Allah's forgiveness, and at the same time, increase your good deeds. So if you fulfill your salah together with the sunnah, together with the nafilah, and you take your time in the masjid, believe me, it will protect you from so much of evil. If you are a person who loves to fulfill their salah in the masjid, to come on time, to fulfill your wudu, to read your sunnah, believe me, it is a fact when Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah prohibits a person or stops a person or prevents a person from that which is immoral and evil. It is a fact. Believe me, try it. Read your salah properly. Leave your heart hanging in the masjid, as the hadith makes mention of the seven categories of people who will be earning the shade on the day of Qiyamah. One of them is رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A person, a man, whose heart is hanging or is stuck in the masjid. When he comes out, he's asking himself, when am I going back? When is the next salah? That's his concern. How will that person be able to engage in haram and be able to engage in that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So important for us to know this. Here, shaitan overtook the brothers and he made them talk about killing off their own innocent brother. Why? Only because they felt the father was favoring him a bit more. The father was favoring him a bit more. And then comes the wise one. It is reported the oldest of the lot. And he says, لا تقتلوا يوسف. Don't kill him. Why do you want to kill this man? Don't kill him. He's a young boy. But he also had a bad intention. So he says, instead of saying, don't kill him, leave him, it's not fair, and so on and so forth, he also wanted to solve this matter. So he says, وَأَلْقُوا فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ يَلْتَقِطُوا بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ. You really want to do something? Put him into the bottom of a pit, and perhaps people who are passing by, a caravan and so on, they'll pick him up and they'll deal with him, and we will have got rid of him, but we wouldn't have killed him. Now, I want to stop for another moment. We all know how the story ended, don't we? We know how it ended, right? This was Allah's plan, and that's how it started. So in your life, when something negative happens, do not think that that's the end. Perhaps it's the beginning of the master plan. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Perhaps it is the beginning of a master plan. Someone blocks you and stops you from something. Someone wants to cause harm to you. Someone has perhaps affected you in your business in terms of loss. It is Allah's plan. How many people thank those who tried to harm them in a way that they then excelled and became so big in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on. And they were so thankful to say, if it was not for your deed right at the beginning, I would not be here where I am. You know, like sometimes someone unceremoniously fires you from your job. And you are looking and saying, but what has happened? If you are a person who does not have iman, you become depressed. How am I going to look after my family? What is going to happen? And how am I, I'm going to harm this person. I'm going to do this. I'm praying against them. No need for all that. Go to Surah Yusuf. It teaches you, when something happens to you that you perceive to be negative, perhaps it is the start of the master plan Allah has for you. So you say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. I praise Allah on all conditions. And I'm going to start, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah, and unto Him is our ultimate return. He is the owner. And so what would happen? We start again. We try our best. We try our best to go and find another job, look for some form of income, and who knows, you might not find a job. And if you don't find a job, you start a small business, you buy something and you sell it. And you buy something and you sell it. And you buy 2 things and you sell them. And you buy 50 things and you sell them. And you buy 1,000 things and there's no place for you. So now you have to buy a little warehouse. So you bought a warehouse. Now that you have your warehouse, you buy 10,000 items and you start selling them. And one day, the man who kicked you out comes to you for stock. Allahu Akbar. And he tells you, do you know what? Can I buy from you please? Subhanallah. On that day, do you become arrogant or do you learn from Surah Yusuf? Calm yourself down. Say, Subhanallah, Allah's master plan, it took 10 years, 20 years. In the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, according to some narrations, 40 years later. 40. Imagine. 40 years. How many of us can be patient for 40 years? We cannot be patient for 4 minutes. Let's be honest. 4 minutes. There's no patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May He grant us ease and goodness. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, I'm saying, talking about impatience and how it is. Something comes to my mind. Subhanallah. Something comes to my mind. A man, his surname was Singh. Okay? His surname was Singh. It's a common surname. Singh. So, he was resting in a park. So, because when you rest on the bench in a park, what happens is you take up more than one space, you know. So, one person came to him and told him, are you relaxing? Now, he thought, this man is asking me, is your name Relax and your surname Singh? You know, are you relaxing? He says, no sir, I am Dilip Singh. And here comes another man. He says, are you relaxing? Within a minute, another man, are you relaxing? He says, no sir, I am Dilip Singh. And a third man, are you relaxing? He says, no sir, I am Dilip Singh. So he decided, like I told you, no patience. He got up and he walked away. So he walked right to the other side of the park and he saw another man. He saw another man lying down. And he said, this might be the one. So he tells him, are you relaxing? He says, yes. He says, they're looking for you on the other side. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The impatience of man and lack of understanding. So we ask Allah to grant us a deeper understanding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. Every time I think of this, I actually laugh. Because it really shows how impatient man is and we don't understand. And really sometimes we are caught in this type of a web. There is nothing much, but we get frustrated and we get caught because of our own misunderstanding. So the impatience that we have when something bad happens to us is such that it results in our downfall. Really, don't be impatient. Remember, it's the plan of Allah. Like I said this afternoon at Jumu'ah, remember one thing that is very important. Allah sent you in this world to test you, that's all. There's no other mission for you. You will come in the world, you are tested and you leave. Someone else will come, they are tested and they leave. When they leave, Allah knows. What will happen in your test, we can tell you now. Allah has tested you in order to see if you find Him and you worship Him alone. Worship Him alone. And He will put in your life hunger, He will put fear, He will put so many other things, He will put loss of health, loss of people whom you love perhaps, and so many other things, just to see how you react. Allah says, this is part of your test. Did you read the Quran? This verse is in Surah Baqarah. Allah tells you, we will test you with X, Y, and Z. He tells you straight. So Allah said, I'm going to test you with you losing the life of someone you love a lot. Whether it is a child, whether it is a parent, or a brother, or a sister, or a relative. Allah says it very clearly. So when it happens, consider it a test. If it has already happened, go back and think to yourself, may Allah protect me and forgive me if I dealt with it wrongly. That was a test from Allah. May Allah help me in my future tests. You lose your child. Don't become depressed. You are also going. The child came in and the child went out before you because the child was a test for you. That child perhaps would be in paradise waiting for you. Subhanallah. And you don't even realize you've become depressed. It was a gift of Allah. Sometimes you lose wealth. And so when we lose wealth, we become depressed. No, don't be depressed. Thank Allah and get up and continue. Start again. Perhaps that wealth was not good for you. You know, they say when you're holding something, you cannot get anything more. Your hand needs to open first. And then you can collect something which is greater. So sometimes Allah has released something from your hand in order to fill it with something much greater. That's what happened at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. He was denied the companionship of his father, the companionship of his family members. He was denied the upbringing in that loving environment, but Allah had a bigger plan for him. Like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was denied his father, but that was through destiny. Allah had a bigger plan for him. He was an orphan. And a little while later he lost his mother. So that upbringing, it was slightly different from what would have happened to you and I and the normal general average person, but it is a means of comforting those who are orphaned already here. May Allah grant them all goodness and may He use us to reach out to them in a beautiful way. So remember, this plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so beautiful. It can never be a horrible plan. It is us who, the condition of our heart sometimes is such that we don't realize. Allah has placed the sickness in our lives in order for us to find Him, in order for us to become closer to Him. That's your test. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So moving further into the story, they then take this child and they decide to hatch a plan and to lie to the father. They lie to the father. What do they say? Oh, our father, we want to play. So we want you to send this child with us as well. We are adults. We are the brothers. We are people who will protect him and so on. The father had a feeling. And this happens. The parents should have such a relationship that you know when your child is lying, you know. And this also shows us something important. Children do lie, by the way. They can lie. If your child comes to you and says, you know, today at school somebody hit me. Maybe he hit that somebody and he knows that this dad can go back to school and start shouting and swearing. So that's why, let me tell my dad. Be careful. Listen to it. Ask a few questions. Find out. Say something. Look at what Yaqub alayhi salam says. He says, إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئِ. It makes me sad to send him with you. And I fear that perhaps a wolf might eat him. Look at this. And they say, no, how can the wolf eat him when we are there? You know, we are there, we are present. This was a lie being compounded. But after that, he gave the benefit of the doubt to his own children because it was Allah's plan. Do not become angry and upset. Remember this. It was Allah's plan. What do you learn from Surah Yusuf? That negativity is not negative. It's not always negative. Negativity is within us. The way we look at things is what makes them negative. In actual fact, they may be the most positive things that we have ever come across. And we don't realize that opportunity, we have not yet seized it. So they then hatch the plan. They convince the father. Like I said, they lied. The issue of lying to parents, that we know. And there was a time when people used to say, children, do not lie. You want to know something, ask a child. You know, I don't know whether it is the age of technology or what it is, but believe me, I have come across children who can lie and create a story that does not exist. Really, not at all. They will tell you, you know, I was driving a Porsche. Oh, were you? Yes. And you know, I went so fast, the cop stopped me. Oh, did he? What did he say? The more interest you show in the story, the more they're just narrating. One time, narrating. The cop stopped me. And I sat on the seat so high. And he was so scared when he looked at me. He just greeted me and told me, okay, you can carry on. Then you say, oh, that was good. Then he realizes my story's over. He says, then another cop stopped me. Allahu Akbar. You know, and it carries on because you're showing interest in the falsehood of a child. That's why show interest in the truth of the child and you will find they will be more and more truthful. You tell a child normally that, look, when you tell me the truth, I will generally, or you, it is something rewarding. The problem with us, children lie sometimes, or should I say a lot of the times, because of the way we react to the truth when they tell it to us. A child comes and says, "Dad, I broke the window." And we start screaming. We start screaming, "You broke the window. What happened? How could you do that? I'm going to beat you up." The next time they're going to say, "Dad, the boy from next door broke the window." Because how you reacted the last time you beat me up, you know, what did you do? So, "Dad, I broke the window." How do you react? You say, "Look, my son, don't do that again. How did it happen?" Or the first thing, maybe you can say, "Did you get hurt?" Wow, you're showing the child that connection. "You didn't get hurt? Okay, then it's fine. Don't worry, we'll deal with the window. Explain to me how this happened." And then you talk, engage. Beautiful. This is the way we are taught. Because you develop a relationship such that the child is taught to actually come out to you and tell you the truth, no matter how ugly it may be in his eyes. He can tell you, "Dad, you know, I knocked your car. And you just bought a brand new Ferrari. Subhanallah." How are you going to react? Believe me, that is your test. It's part of the dunya. You might die the next day and he's going to own the Ferrari anyway. So you need to think. This is something you need. This engagement of discussion is beautifully enshrined in Surah Yusuf. You look at the discussion. The father says something, the children say something. The children say something, the father engages them. And after that, the father says, "Okay, don't worry, you know, you can take him." Because obviously, like we say, ultimately it's the plan of Allah. So now they go. And the plan is hatched. And they go and they decide to cut a little animal and spray the blood of that animal on the shirt and to take the child and con him into going into the well and leave him there. And they went away. And they came back and they lied again. And the father said, "You know what? I know something from Allah that you do not know." What was it? It was the dream. And it was the fact that Allah had inspired him already, him being a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, "You know what? This child of yours is going to be someone big." Now, if he's going to be someone grand, and if he's going to be someone big, then how is it that he's dead? So the father knew in his heart, it's not true. Not true. Then he kept on saying, "But how was his treatment of his children thereafter?" He still treated them well. He cried and he cried out to Allah. How many of us, when we have a problem with someone, we treat them like animals and we never call out to Allah. We think that our revenge and our is enough. You know, if someone did bad to me, I will treat them so badly and I'm happy when I go at night and I think to myself, "Yes, I fixed him." You don't realize that's a seed you sowed and it will grow into a tree that's going to come back to affect you. That's what will happen. So, calling out to Allah is so important. Yusuf alayhi salam's father, Yaqub, may peace be upon him, he called out to Allah with tears and he cried and cried until there was a stage when, according to the narrations, he lost his sight because of how much he cried. Imagine why, how he cried, and he was a Nabi of Allah. He was not questioning the decree of Allah, not even once. He didn't say, "Ya Allah, why did this happen?" He always said, "Ya Allah, save my child, protect the child, I have hope in you," and so on. And he kept on engaging his sons now and again in this beautiful method. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the meantime was in the well, in that particular pit, the well, and he was picked up by a passing caravan, exactly as the brothers had thought. And when he was picked up, obviously imagine if you were in a dark place, stuck. And suddenly you see lights, let's say in the middle of the desert, and you see lights coming in your direction, and you're so excited. "Oh, mashallah, ya Allah, you've sent me some help." And next thing they come in, and you have a bigger problem. What's the problem? They enslave you, they take you, and they want to now sell you as commodity. That's what they did to Yusuf alayhi salam. But he was still hopeful. He did not lose hope in Allah. He was a wonderful person. This is why we say, work on your character. Negative things that happen to you in your life must not make you a bad person. If you remain positive, people will talk about you, they will say things about you. Every one of us have people who don't like us. Not a single one of us can stand up and say, "There's not one person who does not like me." Because whilst we are standing up, there might be some who will think, "Who's this guy? What is he saying?" And so on. We are Muslimin, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness. So, people will dislike you, but does that make you a person who deserves to be disliked? No. There will come a time, wallahi, if Allah wills, they will realize that what they had towards you in terms of feeling was wrong. They will realize. A day will come when they will pick it up. They will see it. Why? You carry on doing good. You carry on beaming that positivity that you always beam, and you will find goodness in your direction. Do not become a bad person because they are bad. This is why Allah says, the disbelievers would have wished that you disbelieved with them so that you could be a car. You know the hypocrites? What were they trying at the time? Allah says, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً. They love that you disbelieve in the same way they disbelieve, so you could be on par. You could be equal. Have hypocrisy in your heart like they have. Never allow that to happen. Never ever. Someone does something bad to you or something negative happens in your life, do not become a negative person as a result. Because if that's the case, you failed your test. These negative people who have bad things to say about you and I, they were obviously a part of the test that Allah has for us. And for them, it is their own test anyway. So do not despair. Let's continue with this beautiful story. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, there he was. Picked up now by the caravan, and they decided to sell him. When he was sold into the house of this minister. And there comes another problem. What is the other problem? There was misconduct from the wife of this man who had bought him. Imagine a free person being bought. A free person being bought. In Islam, prohibited. You cannot just pick up free people and say, right, you are enslaved. You know, recently it has happened in Nigeria. Totally prohibited. Completely far away from Islam. You go to innocent people, you just take them and say, right, these are our slaves. How can you do that? That is not Islamic at all, not even from a distance. It's totally prohibited. But the people who did it at the time, they did it to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Something barbaric, something unacceptable. Whatever excuse they used, they used. Today we found a watch in the masjid or just in the wudu area. There was immediately an announcement to say, you know what? Here there is a watch that was found there. I'm sure in this country still, and even in so many countries, mashallah, we thank Allah for granting so much peace, and we need to contribute towards protecting the peace and stability of the nations we live in. Do you know that? It's part of our duty. And alhamdulillah, if you were to misplace something, the chances of you finding it again are very high. Do you know that? Very high. But, in fact, subhanallah, I must mention something that's come to my mind. Someone sent me a message showing that there is a new trend that has started in some countries in the Middle East, including here, where some of the wealthier people have decided to put out a fridge outside the home and put whatever leftover foods they have in that fridge so that perhaps those who are needy can take from the fridge as and when they wish and like. And I thought to myself, if this was in my country, they would take the fridge. Allahu Akbar. I hope not, but it's a reality. We are fortunate that we have that. Imagine a proper fridge. The fridge itself, people look at the food inside is worth maybe 100 riyals maximum. But the fridge itself is 1,000 riyals. What should I take here? Allahu Akbar. So, but we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is positive contribution to your society, your community. You don't just enslave people. The man was enslaved. Then misconduct in terms of sexual abuse. The woman was trying to compel this man to do something prohibited, and look, she was a good-looking woman from a wealthy family, and this man was also good-looking, and so on. Nothing was stopping them besides Allah. Let's ask ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Yusuf alayhi salam so much in this world. So much. He had power, he had authority, he had wealth, he had looks, he had nubuwa and prophethood. He had the best which was laid out for him. Do you know one of the reasons also the plan of Allah was? He was to turn down sin. From this we learn, you want barakah in your sustenance, steer away from sin. You will have barakah. The minute you fall into sin, no more blessings in your sustenance. You have, if you want something, the ultimate owner of the thing you want is Allah. You need to be on the right or in the right books with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I develop a friendship with Allah and I've done things for Allah, He will definitely look after me. It's impossible that He doesn't. And if something negative happens as a result, I must firmly believe that this was the best thing that could have happened because I've got a good relation with Allah and this was part of my test. Ultimately, what will happen? I'm going to die, you are going to die. When you die, a mu'min, a believer looks at it as the end of your test. But other people want to cling to dear life. Like I tell people, that you know what, if you want to understand how temporary this world is, and how man thinks it is so permanent, then answer two questions. When do you want to die, and how do you want to die? Two things. Let's see what you say. So, I asked one brother, he says, I want to die at 100 years. So I said, and how do you want to die? And he scratched his head, and scratched his head, and scratched his head. I said, so Allah has done you a favor, and He says, we will choose. We will choose. You don't know how you're going to go. How your examination is going to come to an end. I don't know, you don't know. And because we are such, we would want to cling to dear life no matter what. So Allah says, you know what? We do you a favor. We'll decide when and how. That's it. Because if we leave it to you, you'll never want to go. And you will never ever choose a method of going. Because at the end of the day, that is the end of this life. So don't think that this life is permanent. It's actually very, very temporary. So Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, now that he denied, he turned away from this woman, and she tried very hard. So much so that it became physical, and she wanted to drag him and actually tore his clothing. But he made a dua to Allah, oh Allah, protect me from this. Let's be honest. I'm going to take off the gloves for a minute. Let's be honest. An opportunity of adultery in today's world is hardly missed by people. Let's be honest. Except those who have iman. And this is why a person whom the opportunity was afforded to, and he turned to Allah, crying to Allah, oh Allah, protect me, save me, save me. Even if they jail me, ya Allah, save me from this. Imagine the closeness to Allah of such a person. Amazing. May Allah grant us goodness and strength. Sometimes things dangle in front of our eyes in terms of material wealth of this world and goodness and so many other things, and we don't realize, we rush towards it without looking at whether it pleases Allah or not. And we achieve so much negatives as a result of it. We don't realize. Yusuf alayhi salam, the doors opened for him one after the other when they started opening. But for now, one closed, the other one closed, another one came, everything was looking negative. You know, for us, it happens in my part of the world. If one negative happens to you, you might say, oh Allah, protect me, and so on. We turn, we cry. Two negatives, three negatives, then we start believing a story that some neighbor told us that someone did something on you. That's what happens in my part of the world. Then we go to a fortune teller, and then we ask the soothsayer, what happened? And he tells you, one of your family members did magic on you. And that's how we end it. Yusuf alayhi salam, one thing happened, two things happened, three, four, five, and he continued to call out to Allah, and he had hope, and he asked for another issue. He said, oh Allah, better than me transgressing against you, because you're the only one on my side here. I'd rather go to jail. رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ Oh Allah, what they are calling me towards in terms of adultery and sin, I'd rather be jailed instead of doing that. Oh Allah, protect me. Imagine he's asking, oh Allah, let them do what they want, but I don't want to engage in this. So this is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why a lesson we learn from it is, my brothers and sisters, to get goodness in this world, you need to obey Allah's instruction. Try. We are weak, we are human. We might falter sometimes. Turn back to Allah. Read your salah. Ask Allah's forgiveness. You find His love descending in a way that you can actually feel it. You find the doors opening one after the other. With us, when we get, we turn away from Allah. May Allah protect us. You're getting, the one who's giving it to you is the owner. He is Allah. Turn towards Him. Because you know what? Your time is limited in this world. Make use of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and grant us goodness in this world and the next. This man was taken, and thereafter he was jailed. He was jailed. He spent some time in jail, but he was not depressed in the jail. He was not depressed. Depressed meaning, you know, for example, a person is jailed. He was wrongly jailed, and that also shows us that sometimes people are jailed, yet they are innocent. Because sometimes the law is guilty of finding the innocent guilty, and it's not actually the person. But the main point we learn, when Yusuf alayhi salam entered the prison, he had such positivity beaming from him, that immediately the two cellmates who saw him, They spoke to him. They said, hey, you look like a good guy. That's exactly what they said. Inna naraka minal muhsinin. They said, we see you as a nice person, a good person who does good. You look like a good guy. In our language, we'd say, you look like a good guy. We want to ask you a question. He said, hang on. He heard the question. They asked about their dreams. But before he interpreted the dream, he seized the opportunity to spread the deen. He gave them something. What was it? He said, look, this is who I am, this is my family, this is my lineage, and I want to tell you, many people do not thank the Almighty for what they have been granted. But I want to ask you a question. You worshipping many gods and so on, isn't it better to just worship one God and so on? Subhanallah. He seized the opportunity to engage in the discussion. I learn from this, and I'm inspired by it, to say, in the toughest of moments, touch someone's life in a positive way. Give them a little bit of the deen. And I say, today sometimes we are weak, you know, people are shy. You look at someone walking in a suit and you say, brother, why don't you adopt this and adopt that? Some people are shy. You know, to be honest with you, we should not be shy. But if you are a living Muslim, your presence is da'wah. The fact that you are just there, your name is Muslim, you're an honest person, you have upright character, conduct, you interact with people, you are, everything is positive about you, that alone already shows that you are a da'i. You are calling out towards Allah without even having uttered one word yet. So just live a good Muslim. Live a good Muslim. You know, there was a person who, like we did today, he picked up lost property and he was trying to return it to its owner. So one man who was a non-Muslim said, wow, that is so honest of you. Immediately he replied, he said, it's not actually the honesty, it's just so Muslim of me. Meaning I'm a Muslim, it's my nature, I wouldn't eat it. It's not a big deal for me, this thing here, no matter how valuable it is, I'm going to try and find the person who has lost it because I will achieve a reward. So remember, when you do these things, small things, wallahi, it goes a very, very far way in spreading the deen. Yusuf alayhi salam was direct. If you can be direct, alhamdulillah, there are certain people closer to you. You work with them, your colleagues, your mates, those who work for you who are not Muslim. And even those who are Muslim, to remind one another of goodness is something extremely important. And how do you remind one another of goodness? Let me tell you. The same way you would spread the deen to the non-Muslims. You can either do it by your actions. If a person sees you, you're a wealthy businessman, a top job, you have this, you are working abroad. When you come back to your native land, for example, you are so honest. You don't miss a salah in the masjid. Those who are mediocre will say, but that man is so wealthy, he's got everything, look at him, he's reading salah and he's so close to Allah. I think we all need to do this as well. Wallahi, they learn. This man is so wealthy, but he greets us. This man has such a top position, but he comes, he asks, how are you, how is your family, how is this, how is that? These are small things we take for granted. People think we are dry and we have lacking in contentment and so on. No, we are not the dry people. We are people who beam goodness and peace. And we would like others to feel the goodness we are in. So therefore, reach out to them the way Yusuf alayhi salam reached out to his mates. And he interpreted the dream. And later on, and I'm going to jump a little bit, the dream was interpreted and it came true. And later on, the king decided to call Yusuf alayhi salam because the king also had a dream. And one of these men happened to say, I know a cellmate of mine whose name was Yusuf and he is in the prison and he interprets dreams. They said, call him. So now, this was the beginning of the end of the negatives in his life. There were so many, but it was the beginning of the end. It was easy for him to run out and say, alhamdulillah, I'm now free. It's okay, let me go. But he said, no, hang on. There is a reputation at stake here. What's the reputation? They were accusing him of having tried to sexually abuse the wife of that minister. So he said, let me use this opportunity to make manifest the truth, whatever the truth was. So he said, look, I cannot come back until something is made clear. What is it? Go and ask those women, who was the criminal? What happened? And this was a serious matter. A very serious matter. So they dealt with it. And from this, what I've learned and what I think we can share, there are so many lessons we can share. If you have been accused negatively of something, One day Allah will give you the opportunity to clarify your name. It might come 10 years later. It might come after a lot of negativity. But one day people will realize, and not only that, Allah will give you such a beautiful chance. Those who have perhaps done wrong to you might come back to you and seek help from you. That's what happened here. In Yusuf alayhi salam's life, more than once, the people who directly harmed him had to come back to ask him for help. Subhanallah. Somebody jailed him. Then they came back and said, no, free him, bring him, we need him to interpret the dream. And this is why, be humble. When you have a top qualification, be humble. Don't think, you know, I am the most knowledgeable in this field. Who are you to talk? Relax. Give them their chance to speak. And when you get a chance to speak, your speech alone will prove to the people that this man knows what he's talking about. You don't need to go out and defend yourself sometimes. But when the opportunity arises, you may do so. This is a gift of Allah. He has blessed you with it. So, as a result, there was drought for a certain time. There was good crop for a certain time. Drought for a certain time. And thereafter, there was a shortage of food. In a way that the food had to be rationed. And in the process, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam came along to get some of the rations of food. And who did they find who was appointed by that king as the minister? Maybe we could call it the minister of agriculture or minister of whatever, the man in charge of the granaries where the grain is kept. They found that there was a man. They did not recognize him, but he recognized them. Years later, these are my brothers. Wow, Allah brought them back here. What do I do? He gave them whatever they wanted. He called his one brother aside, the young one, Binyamin, and he told him, hey, this is who I am. Oh, mashallah. This is who I am. Imagine they wanted to kill him. Look at it. And I want to say this again. When someone plans to bring you down, maybe the same plan is going to raise you above them. That is why, be careful, the lesson I learned. Don't plan someone's downfall. Because Allah might use the same plan to bring them on top of you. Above you. Just watch out. Be careful. Be a good person. Be decent. Reach out to others in a nice way. Strive. Do not become greedy. So what happened to these people? They didn't recognize him. He recognized. He told his brother, look, we're hatching a plan. So just bear with it. That was a plan. What did they do? They took one of the mugs or the cups of the king and they put it in. They put it into the provisions that were given to this one young boy, the brother. It is reported that 10 of them were from another mother and 2 of them were from this mother. So Yusuf was one and Binyamin was the other. And so he decided to keep his brother with him. Obviously he wants to narrate, he's met his brother after so long and he did not really know the condition of what was going on back at home. But when the brother stayed behind, the brother was not allowed to actually go. What happened initially is they came more than once. The first time they came, they were given and they were told, next time bring your brother. Because they were asked, how many family members, how many rations do you want? If you don't bring this able man, next time you're not getting anything. So when the next time they brought the able man, then this happened, where they put the cup in, the mug in, and there was an announcement made to say, this cup of the king is missing. Whoever has taken it shall be punished. And they started searching. And these people said, wallahi, we have not come here to steal. We came here for rations. They said, no, we will search. And they asked a question to them. What shall be done to the one who is caught with this mug? And they themselves said, you know what? You can imprison him. Keep him here. Because obviously they felt that none of us have done it. But it was a plan. When they found it from the brother, look at the venomous words that came out of their mouth. Poisonous words, harsh words. They said, and this was in the face of Yusuf alayhi salam. إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِن قَبْلِ. Allahu Akbar. Look at how dirty the words were. Lies. They said, if he has stolen, well, we wouldn't put it past him because he had a brother who also stole in the past. Look at this. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, this is a powerful lesson because he's sitting in the position of authority. He can do whatever he wants about that. He can vent his frustration in the most strong of ways. But no, he decided to keep quiet. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُ. He kept it within him. He did not let them feel anything, nothing. He kept quiet. This teaches us that sometimes silence is golden. Sometimes silence is wrong, but sometimes it is golden. Ask yourself, I want to talk, I want to say something. Is it the right time to say it? Is it the best opportunity? Will I have the desired results of what I am trying to achieve? If I speak now, and if I say this thing here and now, if the answer is yes, then let it be. But if the answer is no, remain silent. I can give you another example of another prophet who was also silent. Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to be silent. Ayatuka alla tukallima an-nasa thalathata ayyam. Don't speak to people for 3 days, except through signs. Because Allah would clarify it. The same applies to Maryam, Mary, the mother of Jesus, may peace be upon them both. She was told, you don't talk, you keep quiet. Just point. We will do the rest. So remember, silence sometimes is actually your way out. Nobody has regretted silence more than they have regretted speech. But where you have to speak up sometimes, you need to know silence is not good enough. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Then, Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam remained, and the father got the story, and one of the brothers decided that, you know what, I cannot face my father because I took an oath that we're going to bring this young man back, and I couldn't. So now he remained behind. So 3 children missing. These 2, and the one who decided I'm not going to go back. It is reported that he is the same one who said, do not kill Yusuf, rather put him into the well. Why kill? He's the oldest. So now, the father continued to make dua to Allah. And there came a time when he told his children. He said, oh my children, go back. At least we know where one of these children are. Go back to that king. Go back to that man. And plead with him and tell him that we would like our brother back and so on. He says, oh my children, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah, for it is only a disbeliever in Allah that loses hope. Stop there. My hope in my life, look at the verse. The verse of the Quran says it is only a disbeliever in Allah who loses hope in Allah. Ask yourself, have you lost hope in Allah? Whether it is tawbah, whether it is anything else. Keep on asking Allah. Keep on crying to Him. Keep on having hope in Him. No matter what, even if you die in that condition, at least that hope would have let you lead a life of positivity, and you died whilst you were positive. Subhanallah. Keep on having hope. The Quran says, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Indeed, none would lose hope in the mercy of Allah, in that reprieve of Allah, besides he who is disbelieving, or the disbelievers. So if someone loses hope in Allah's mercy, and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would mean they have in them some disbelief. If you believe in Allah, you have hope in Him. So remember, have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there came a time, subhanallah, where they went back. They cried to the man, and this is where the pinnacle is arrived at, the summit, right at the top. They said, you know, our father, his health is failing, this has happened to him, and so on, and we would really like our brother back. And this is where it was the moment to speak. The heart of Yusuf alayhi salam was touched, but he was so humble when he asked a question. He asked the brothers a simple question. He asked them, do you remember what you did to Yusuf and his brother when you were a bit younger? When you were ignorant? Do you remember what you did to Yusuf and his brother? They were shocked. Completely shocked. No one knew. Yusuf. He was a name that was only known in dua of the father. That's it. Otherwise, they didn't even know him. They got rid of him. And they were gobsmacked. What to say? هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. Do you know what you did to Yusuf and his brother when you were ignorant? And look at what he's saying. He didn't say that you need to pay for it and so on. He is now presuming that they have matured, they have realized, they have come out, they are in need. Imagine, they did it to block him from something, and they were blocked from something. They did it to block him from something, And now they were blocked from even food. They had to come begging for grain to get rations. And here, this man spoke with utmost respect at the time when he did not need to. Subhanallah. He was in the position of authority. He could have did whatever he wanted. But he says, do you know, when you were ignorant, a period of time, a long time back, do you remember what you did to Yusuf and his brother? Obviously they treated them badly and they did what they did. They were shocked. They only had one question for him. Only one. You know what was the question? أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ. It can only be possible that you are that Yusuf, that Joseph. Because nobody else knows the story. No one knows anything. Not at all. So are you that Yusuf? Immediately he says, أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. I am Yusuf. This is my brother. Allah has indeed favored us. Amazing. Look at the statement that came out. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has favored us. He did not speak about them. Not at all. He didn't say, I am Yusuf, this is my brother. What you guys did was so bad. You guys are horrible people. I'm going to punish you. Call the guards. Come take these guys and jail them. No. He only spoke about that which was positive. Nothing negative was mentioned on that day. Not at all. Yet for them, it was the day they were exposed. How many of us can keep beaming positivity? Even if the people who have done something against us are in front of us and they've been proven guilty. And we have the position to embarrass them, but we haven't. That's what Yusuf alayhi salam did. And this is why it's such a beautiful story. No matter how many times we read it, we will derive so many lessons. Here is the man. He says, Allah has favored us. Indeed. And you know what he said after that? He gave them a lesson. And all of us learn a lesson from that. He says, قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. He says, Allah has favored us indeed. Indeed, anyone who has taqwa and sabr, anyone who's conscious of Allah, remember he stayed away from the sins, remember he continued obeying Allah's instruction, anyone who has taqwa and sabr, sabr meaning forbearance, sabr meaning patience, forbearance, to be able to restrain yourself. That is all included in the term sabr. To be able to accept the decree of Allah is also sabr. So he says, whoever has taqwa and sabr, Allah will never ever waste the reward of those who do good. So if you want to be known as a doer of good, you need two things in you, taqwa and sabr. And if you have those two things in you, Allah will definitely recompense you, definitely without a doubt. You need to believe this. So let us learn to develop our taqwa and our sabr. We are taught that sabr is of several types. Like I say, Yusuf alayhi salam, he restrained himself from sin. That is a type of sabr. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam fulfilled the laws of Allah and the commands of Allah. He engaged in da'wah and so many other things that requires a lot of sabr as well. As-sabru ala ta'atillah, to be patient when it comes to obeying the instruction of Allah. And one of the most difficult forms of sabr is to accept the decree of Allah. It's not easy. Especially when something negative has happened. We spoke about so many negatives today that can happen in our lives. Bear sabr and continue fearing Allah. Be conscious of Allah. A day will come when you will have that beautiful recompense given by Allah, similar to this. So look at what he said. He did not even swear his brothers, he did not make them feel out of place. He knew they are brothers, and at the same time, this is the day. Let us all learn to react to negativity in a positive way. Then, take a look at what happened immediately thereafter. They were embarrassed. So they said, تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. By Allah, he has indeed favored you and raised you above us. He has preferred you over us. لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Who chooses who will be higher and lower? It's Allah and Allah alone. So he says, Allah has favored you upon us and we were totally wrong. He did not wait for them to say, "We are sorry." It does not mention in the Quran that they said, "Forgive me, forgive us." He just said, "We are wrong. Inna lakhati'in." We are the ones who are wrong. Immediately he says, he didn't wait for anything else. You know, someone would say, "Okay, so you guys were wrong. So are you going to apologize? Are you going to apologize?" You know, I always think when people demand an apology, that a true apology comes without a demand. When you say, "I want you to apologize," he'll say, "I'm sorry." But in his heart, he's not sorry. But if a man comes to you on his own and says, "Look, brother, I did this to you, I'm really sorry." Now he's coming to you because he wants to. This is why to demand an apology and to say that we will only do this if you apologize, that might give you a hypocritical apology. In this case, Yusuf alayhi salam did not wait for an apology. He knew that there's no point. Allah's already given me so much more than what they will ever have. So what's the point of me saying, "Right guys, say sorry to me, come on"? Nothing of that nature. He didn't do that. He said immediately, "La tathriba alaykumul yawma yaghfiru Allahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin." What powerful words. Look at the positivity. May Allah bless us with a little bit of this positivity. For me, it is a great lesson. Reading the surah and going through it, it really helps you through life on condition that you learn lessons from it. No point in just reading it. "Wow, nice story. Wow, best story." What did you gain from it? Have you learned to forgive people? He told them, "La tathriba alaykumul yawm." No retribution against you today. I don't want to do anything bad to you guys. Do you know why? Allah will forgive you. He is the most merciful of those who have mercy. Look at the words. Don't worry about me forgiving you. Allah will forgive you. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah is the most merciful of those who have mercy. And then immediately he gave them his shirt and he said, "Go back to my father." And after that the father happened to come. And this is where the father came in. And subhanallah, what a powerful day. What a beautiful day. Do you know what happened? At that particular time, the way of showing respect to someone and acknowledgement was, like sometimes we have certain cultures, they bow, they bend their heads a little bit. And at that particular time, it was a prostration that people engaged in. Not a prostration of worship. Remember, there's a difference. But it was a prostration of acknowledgement and a prostration of respect. However, it is prohibited in our Sharia to prostrate to anyone or anything besides Allah. That needs to be clear. At that particular time, it was allowed. When it happened, Yusuf alayhi salam says, "Oh my father, ya abati hadha ta'wilu ru'yaya min qablu qad ja'alaha rabbi haqqa." Oh my father, this is the interpretation of the dream I had in the past. Allah has made it true. It has come to pass. All the negativities, he kicked them out. And this will help us even psychologically and emotionally. Kick out the negatives. Don't hold them. If you hold them, you become a negative person. You beam negative energies. People see you and your face is like this. Because that man took 20 riyals of yours. 20, you'll buy medication for 200 riyal. Believe me, you don't need that. Smile. So what? He took 20, Allah will give you another 2,000 by his mercy. Subhanallah. So be positive. That's the most powerful message to learn from Surah Yusuf, is to have a positive attitude no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Remember this. And this is why immediately, do you know what he said thereafter? He didn't wait for anything. He says, this is the interpretation of my dream. قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّ وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجِنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدُو. And Allah has indeed favored me. Allah has done good to me by taking me out of that jail and by bringing you from the desert, by bringing you from afar to me. Look at the plan of Allah. So his concentration was on the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the goodness that came out of it. And then he had to blame someone for what happened in terms of the bad that the brothers did. So do you know who he blamed? He blamed shaitan. He blamed the devil. Do you know what he says? مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. He says all this happened after shaitan had caused this form of dissent between me and my brothers. So he blames shaitan. When someone does something bad, who do you blame? First stop must be the devil. I'm not saying don't deal with the problem when it happens. You know, someone smacked you. You say, oh, we learned about Surah Yusuf. No problem. It's okay. No problem. You know, someone damaged your car. You come out and say, Salaamu Alaikum. Shaitan made you bump my car. Salaamu Alaikum. Walk out. That's foolish. We are talking about the reality is where you are able and capable, you need to understand. Do not unnecessarily start venting out that which is totally negative, because it will beam negativity and you become a negative person. And those around you become depressed. You know, I've entered many homes, mashallah, may Allah bless all our homes. Some houses you enter and you just feel so depressed. Because why? People are just all in their own world. And some houses you enter, they're full of life, full of goodness, full of happiness, mashallah. May Allah make us, make our homes from those that are full of positivity. Ameen. So my brothers and sisters, this was just a few lessons that we learned from Surah Yusuf. I've tried to keep them a little bit different from the ones we spoke about in the past. And I've tried to currentize it, seeing that technology changes with the changing of time. I hope that we've learned a lesson or two. Most importantly, the lesson is, and I think that I can mention this to encapsulate the entire surah, and that would be, please be a positive person. Beam positivity. Don't be negative. Look at that which is positive in your life. And remember, even that which seems to be negative, like we said at the beginning, and we end on the same note, it may just be the beginning of the master plan of success for you. May Allah grant us success in this world and the next. Until we meet again sometime. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayki.